Good evening. Welcome to Cabinet on the 14th of March 2019. So I'd like to start by making our usual announcement. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements, Meetings and Access to Information England Regulation 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So I'm going to start this evening with item one, which is apologies. We have apologies from Councillor Barclay. Otherwise, we're all here. Item two, disclosure of pecuniary and personal interests. Does anyone have any disclosures they wish to make? Nope, there are no disclosures. Thank you very much. Item three, which is leaders' announcements. I do not have any announcements this evening. Item four, which is the minutes of the previous meeting. First of all, can I ask whether everyone finds them accurate? Yes. Yeah. And any points that anyone wishes to change? No. Everyone's happy with those. So can I see your support?
I wasn't here.
So. Okay. Everyone's hands up. And Margaret, I'm sure you probably listened on tape, so you probably understand that they are completely accurate. So the meetings of the 14th of February are approved. Item five, questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. No items have been submitted. So we're now on to the main business of this evening, which is item six, which is the business plan. So with that, can I invite, Susanna Kinder, who's our Corporate Improvement and Policy Officer, to the table. And I'm going to start by really just thanking Suzanne for her work and also the scrutiny that this particular paper has already had from the Policy Scrutiny Committee and also the Scrutiny Management Board. A couple of suggestions were made at policy, which have been incorporated in the plan, so thank you very much for that. And when it was passed to the Scrutiny Management Board, I think it's fair to say that the Scrutiny Management Board were impressed and welcomed the business plan. So this is the fourth business plan under the current four-year corporate plan. It picks up the remaining items that were due to be completed, and Susanna, you'll probably go through in much more detail some of the items that have been covered in the coming year, but also maybe cover any items that you feel haven't been included under the corporate plan and maybe explaining why. So with that, I'm going to ask you to carry on the presentation, and then we'll have some questions afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you. So just to reiterate, I'm here today to bring to you the fourth and final business plan of the current corporate plan of 16 to 20. The current corporate plan was agreed by Cabinet in February 2016, and this was developed on the back of some residents' consultation which took place in summer 2015. Further feedback was sought from residents in autumn 17, and this continues to feature as priorities within the current corporate plan and this particular business plan as well. The business plan itself is structured into two parts. It outlines the activities and tasks which will support the objectives set in the Council's corporate plan, and then secondly, it identifies key indicators which monitor the Council's corporate performance. So you see these towards the back of the business plan itself. Heads of service have completed this business plan by reviewing their existing activities and outlining the activities they intend to undertake over the forthcoming year to support the objectives of the corporate plan. There's also objectives with regards to the corporate transformation programme, which are included within this business plan as well. As this business plan only measures corporate initiatives, activities and indicators, all individual services will also have service or team plans in which to measure success and performance at a local level. Any activities which feature in this business plan are outlined in greater detail within these particular service and team plans. The business plan will be used by directors and elected members to monitor progress and performance against the achieved activities, and any activity which has been completed will be captured in an annual report, as we always do within previous years.
Thank you very much. Spot on. So, are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask? Yeah, for questions. I think it's a pretty thorough report, I have to say. Everyone's nodding away. So I think with no questions, I think we'll take the report as it is and the business plan for the coming year. So thank you very much again for all the work that you've put into this. I know through the meetings that I've attended over the last few months with you, it has been discussed at length by Policy Scrutiny in particular, but also Scrutiny Management Board. I think the involvement from them as an organisation, together with obviously the SNT and also the Cabinet, has helped to make it into a pretty succinct and pretty focused document. So with that, I would like to propose that we take the plan for recommendations 1 and 2 for the reasons quoted 1 and 2. And can I ask Councillor Boker to second?
Having been involved with the very first business plan, this is another excellent document, and I'm very happy to second it.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Suzanne, thank you very much for your help. So we're now on to item 7, which is the Housing Income and Financial Inclusion Policy 2019-2024. So can I invite Peter Oliver, who's our Head of Landlord Services, to the table? And can I ask Councillor Mercer to introduce the report and then pass over to Peter to present any remaining items before we ask any questions?
Thank you, Leader. This document hasn't actually changed that much, and merely in substance, and merely reflects the relatively small number of legal changes that have occurred. Nevertheless, it's a very important policy because the HRA is self-financing. We need to maximise our income, and it's very much dependent upon that rental income to allow us to spend money on improvements and services. What the document also does is identify and outline our financial inclusion policy, which minimises financial stress. The document itself sailed smoothly through PSG and HMAB, with the former actually praising the document for the easy way in which it could be read. And I think that credit must go to Peter, Claire and Andrew for producing it.
Okay, in that case, thank you very much. Can I take any questions? Do we have any questions? I have to say the document is a very easy to read document. It's one of the points that I think has been coming clearly through the housing documents that are now being used, not only the sort of newsletters, et cetera, that are being circulated, but also some of the strategies, et cetera, because it is important, I think, that all of these are as accessible as possible to our tenants and our residents. And all credit to you on producing a particular document like this one, especially that is very easy and clear for people to read. Thank you. You can indeed.
Yes, thank you. It was nice and easy to read. On page, I think it was page 41, when I was looking through, there was a comment about rent arrears. And I know in the past it was difficult because of the changeover with discussions about the way benefit and everything was changed. So are the arrears sort of staying about the same, or have they gone up, or have they gone down?
There's been an increase in rent arrears this year. Obviously, we've worked really hard to prepare our tenants for universal credit. So the increase this year isn't perhaps as big as we first estimated at the beginning of the year. We've invested quite heavily in financial inclusion, as you see within this report, tenancy support as well, and we also have a dedicated officer for supporting people on universal credit as well.
Any further questions that anyone wishes to ask? No, in that case, Councillor Mercer, can I ask you to make a proposal?
I'd like to propose that the Housing Income and Financial Inclusion Policy 2019-24, attached as Appendix 1, is approved for the reasons set out in the report.
Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Harper-Davis to second?
Yes, thank you, Leader. With the clarity, I think the report is very succinct, easy to read and understand, and propose that we nominate for a plain English reward, if that's possible. And I totally support the recommendations.
Thank you very much. Very good recommendation. So can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Peter, as well. So if you'd like to stay at the table, because our next item is item 8, which is the Housing Capital Programme 2019-20. Councillor Mercer, if I can ask you to introduce the report and then pass over to Peter as Head of Landlord Services to present the remaining items.
Thank you. The Housing Capital Programme for 2019-20 is relatively self-explanatory. However, what I would do is draw your attention to the fact that it is the money that's being rolled over from the previous year is not only just not only for carrying out the work that wasn't done on bathrooms, but also for 27 adaptations. And I believe I'm right in saying when we finally work out what we're supposed to be doing with the fire doors, for actually doing the fire doors. But perhaps Peter could explain a little bit more about that, because I know it's a matter that concerns a lot of people.
Just in respect of the fire doors, I think this was probably dealt with a later report, the Capital Plan Amendment Report. However, there's currently a national issue in respect of the supply of composite fire doors, and we are seeking to identify an appropriate door set that we can use to replace any door sets that require replacement. Of course, we don't want to rush out and get something that doesn't meet standards, hence asking for a slip to next financial year for some of that budget. I think the only additional thing to say in respect of the report is that the Housing Management Advisory Board have been consulted, and the Board endorses the capital investment priorities identified in this report.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions that anyone wishes to ask? Councillor Smith.
With you saying that there's a shortage of the composite doors, is this anything to do with the sort of the Grenfell disaster and the follow-up and trying to be extra careful?
It is a shortage, but in so much as the what's driving that shortage is that some recommendations fell out of Grenfell, and those related to the testing of fire doors. Okay, and so what we need is a fire door that meets new tests. However, no door has yet been identified that certainly we at least are aware of. So we're taking advice from our specialist fire risk assessors and also from our procurement experts as well, our framework suppliers, so they can keep us abreast of what's available within the market. And as soon as we're in a position to identify one, we can move forward, absolutely, yeah.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? Councillor Taylor.
Just within reading the report about residents that refuse to have works done, do we collect any data on the reasons for refusal and whether there's any more we can do to make sure that we get less refusals?
Yes, we do collect data in relation to refusals. Typically, people refuse because they are unwell, or they wish to defer the works to a later date. What we have done this time round is we've written to all of our previous refusals, so we've written back out to everybody and we'd said, would you like the works this year? So actually what you've got here is actually we've now made some inclusions from people that had previously refused. What we're also going to do as well is we're expecting some additional capacity within our tenant liaison team as well. So we're currently recruiting to an apprentice that will support our tenant liaison officer. And I think one of the tasks for that apprentice will be to do some kind of proactive engagement of those people that have previously refused, to try and encourage them to have the works done. And also with the capital works contractor as well, goes to set out quite detailed method statements in relation to how they will engage and try and make sure that people participate in the programme and have the works done.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? No, I think we're about there. So in which case, Councillor Mercer, can I ask you to make a proposal?
I'd like to propose that the Housing Capital Programme for 2019-20, amounting to £8,361,190, detailed in Appendix 1, be approved, and the Capital Plan be amended to reflect this for the reasons given in the report.
Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Smith-Rich, please?
I'm happy to second that.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Peter. So we now come on to item 9, which is the Children and Young People Strategy 2019-2024. We do have an OSG report for this, so if I can invite Councillor John Capleton to the table. Good to see you this evening, John. And I'm going to ask Councillor Taylor to introduce the item and then invite Councillor Capleton to present the OSG report. And then after that, we'll have any questions of clarity for Councillor Capleton on behalf of the OSG committee before moving on to discussion to the main report.
Thank you, Leader. This report brings forward the Children and Young People Strategy 2019-2024 for approval. The strategy builds upon the previous 2015-2018 strategy, and the annually updated action plans from this strategy has demonstrated that the Council and our multi-agency partners have achieved considerable successes. These are all shown on pages 64 to 65. The Children and Young People Strategy 2019 to 2024 has been developed in order to ensure that we meet our statutory responsibility in relation to safeguarding outlined in the Children's Act 2004 and working together to safeguard Children's Statutory Guidance 2018. It also ensures that we action the commitments that the Council has made to residents, including children, young people and their families within our corporate plan. At a county level, the strategy is aligned to the County Council's Letter of Children and Families Partnership Plan 2018 to 2021, which in turn is overseen by the County's Health and Wellbeing Board. Locally, it links with the Sports and Physical Activity Commissioning Plan, the Equality Strategy, the Community Safety Partnership Plan, and the Charnwood Think Family Partnership. In preparing this strategy as a named partner in the Leicester's Children's and Family Partnership Plan, we have adopted the shared vision for children and families within our borough. This is children, young people in Charnwood are safe and living in families where they can achieve their full potential. Consultation with internal and external stakeholders are set out on pages 97 to 99, and this has supported our approach in retaining the three strategic objectives that we delivered for the 2015 to 2018 strategy. These are keeping children and young people safe and free from harm, integrated working and early intervention, and children and family voice. The strategy outlines the Council's responsibility for each of these and details how we will comply with our responsibility, including our work with multi-agency partners. And I'll pass over to Captain Capleton.
Thank you. Yes, this item was to consider the report of the Head of Neighbourhood Services on the Children and Young People's Strategy 2019-24. The group considered the report and asked questions of the Head of Neighbourhood Services. We were advised that the draft strategy had already been considered in depth by the Policy Scrutiny Group and their comments had been heeded. It's one of the results in the strategy being now quite a bit shorter and more user-friendly, easier to read. The strategy covered children and young people from the ages of 0 to 19, which is the same age group is used for the Children and Family Plan, as well as other services. Usually, considered children up to the age of 18, but 19 takes in A-level students and certain other groups. The safeguarding policies were examined and found that they were refreshed on an annual basis and relevant staff within the council have been trained to look for any concerns and report them to a safeguarding officer. The group, having considered the reports and explanations from the Head of Neighbourhood Services, concluded they should support the recommendations and that the Cabinet approve the recommendations and approve the Children's and Young Persons Strategy for 2019-24. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Capleton. Now, are there any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Capleton about the OSG report? There aren't. Thank you very much, John, for presenting that report. And at this point, I'm going to ask... Without prompting, can I invite Julie Robinson, Head of Neighbourhood Services, to the table to present the report? Thank you very much for my prompter. I was getting there. I'm getting used to these glasses, you see. This is my trouble, which is not good. It's old age. So, Julie, thank you very much. So can I ask whether there's anything else that you wish to add to what's been said already?
Thank you, Chair. I'll answer to anything. Just a couple of points from me. They are apologies, actually. The page numbers in Appendix A in the strategy seem to have gone a bit awry in the PDFing, but we'll obviously sort that out. And also, in addition, there's a sentence in the introduction of the strategy on page 73 in the third paragraph, which starts, the diagram in Appendix 1 shows how the needs to be deleted. As part of the shortening process, we decided to scrap Appendix 1, but forgot to remove the words in the introduction, so we'll just need to delete that sentence. And the other thing I'd just like to add is there is also a plan to have a more front-facing, shorter summary that will provide an overarching what the objectives are of the strategy as well.
Thank you very much. I think we can probably add an additional short recommendation to allow for any editing, I suspect, so that should be absolutely fine. Thank you very much. Can I ask for any questions? Councillor Vardy.
Yes, thank you, Lily. Yes, I welcome this report, and I always do. Children and young people are the keystone of our societies, and we need to nurture them to bring them up in a safe environment. One of the questions that's been mooted in the press much over the last few months to do with excluded children from schools. I know it probably doesn't fall directly within the compass of the council's responsibilities, but working in the team, I'm probably looking for reassurances that excluded pupils are often not only drawn into a gang culture, they're all drawn into offending themselves, but equally they can be victims themselves of all sorts of abuse. So I suppose I'm saying that this policy, does that engage with that issue, and are you all comforted that we're working together to try to prevent this kind of action?
Thank you. As you'll see in the appendix where I talk about the consultation, there's a raft of organisations that are involved in our network of partnerships that we do, including the two inclusion partnerships that deal with those cohorts specifically. Across all of the Think Family Partnership and the Children Family, the Children Families Plan, and also the 5 to 19 and the NEET Aversion Group, we talk about a lot of those young people specifically about how we can get them into proactive education, make sure that they're attending some kind of education or alternative curriculum provision, working with inclusion partnerships to be able to recognise if young people are going off the rails a little bit and how we can provide some diversionary activity to try and bring them back on track and steer them in the right direction. So all partners are working together really proactively to try and identify those young people.
Any further questions that anyone should ask? Councillor Smith.
Probably more curiosity, but where you've had on page 75, effective interagency working, how do we do that from Charnwood? Because it's very much linked with Leicester, isn't it, Leicestershire? So are they sort of face-to-face meetings, or is it mainly emails and so on?
In terms of the interagency working to safeguard children, sort of the conversation that I've just had around working together does part of that, and that's part of the safeguarding to recognise when young people have got some issues and when appropriate referrals and which agencies need to be involved. In terms of our statutory responsibilities, that it's seamless in relation to we referring our duties to make sure that our staff are trained, that they recognise the signs, that we refer it into first response, and that first response pick it up. And in all of our multi-agency meetings, especially through the JAG and the Youth JAG, we work in an interactive way with those other agencies to work together to decide who should be the best person involved. So it's email, phone, meetings, strategy conferences, all sorts.
Thanks a lot for that. Councillor Boker.
Thank you, Leader. I'm very impressed that there's over 27,000 attendances by children and young people at council-led sport and recreation. You might not know this at this moment in time, but do you know how that compares with other boroughs in Leicestershire, for instance?
I don't know off the top of my head, but in terms of our commissioning plan, which we have to submit every year to Public Health, our attendance is that we have to put in there, and the targets that we report are very high in comparison. So they look at the value for money, and obviously the value for money will not be necessarily comparative, because if it's an activity that can only have low numbers, then the value might be quite high. But overall, our attendance figures are high compared to others.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? Okay, thank you very much, Julie, for that. Can I ask Councillor Taylor to make the recommendations? And I wonder whether maybe we add one additional recommendation to allow the Head of Service and Cabinet Lead to make any minor amendments to the strategy.
Thank you, Councillor Barney. I'd like to move the recommendations on page 61 that the Children and Young People Strategy 2019-2024 Appendix A and the 2019-20 Action Plan at Appendix B be approved to enable the Children and Young People Strategy 2019-2024 and the associated action plan to be approved, and also for slight editing to be undertaken by the Head of Neighbourhood Services with consultation with the lead member.
You didn't mention typographical. So can I ask Councillor Vardy to second?
Yes, I have pleasure in seconding this and the amendment, including typographical errors.
Thank you.
Can I see all of those in favour? Thank you very much. That's everyone. And thank you very much, Julie, in particular. It's a very important but also very impressive document. So if you'd like to stay with us, Councillor Taylor, if you're ready, Councillor Taylor. If you'd like to move on to item 10, which the Chairman grants round 4, which is 2018-19. Councillor Taylor, if you'd like to introduce the report and then pass over to Julie Robinson as Head of Neighbourhood Services to present any remaining items.
Thank you, Leader. This report sets out the recommendations in relation to the community development and engagement environmental grant applications that have been received in this round. An additional round of grants has been run this year specifically for the environmental projects to enable the external funding provided by Serco to be awarded. The grants panel assessed the applications against criteria outlined on pages 115 and 116 of the report. Three environmental related applications were received in this round. In terms of assessing the application, the grants panel looked very closely at the need for the project, who it's targeting, and the breakdown of project funding, and determines whether the costs are realistic and whether it duplicates any existing service provision. Specifically in this round, the grants panel were also looking at the environmental outcomes of the project. Grants panel are recommending that all three of the applications are awarded a grant, with the Oxerio Trust and the Crop Club projects being fully funded from the Environment Grant Scheme, and the Little Bird SOS project part funded from the Environmental Grant Scheme and the Loughborough Community Grant Scheme. The panel were pleased to see environmental project applications which are engaging with and developing local communities. Both the Oxerio Trust and the Little Bird SOS projects are a continuation of previously funded skill schemes, but are further enhanced with additional activities. For example, the Oxerio reuse project has moved to a larger premises, extending the number of days that it's open, and added the surplus paint project. The Little Bird SOS project has been developed from a weekend of activity to a series of events running over a four-month period. The Crop Club is a new project based at Foon Hall that aims to reconnect people with growing food, using reused and sustainable materials as a key part of the project. Council comments were received for this application. They are included on pages 119 and 120. All of the projects will be delivering wide-ranging environmental outcomes, such as diverting waste from landfill, reusing existing items, including reducing contamination, reducing plastic use, promoting recycling and training, and upskilling individuals to help build an environmentally sustainable communities. All of the details of the grant applications are contained within the report.
Nothing further to add.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions about any of the three grants that we're looking at this evening? Councillor Smidrich, I know you had a question earlier on about Oxerio, but I don't know if you wish to ask Julie.
Yes, if you don't mind. Reading on paragraph 7, the trust help people who've been homeless and so on, And I was wondering, where did it actually start? Who provided the initial funding to get the project going? Was it government or...?
Are you talking about their reuse project or Exorio? I'm not actually sure.
No, that's okay. I just wondered because we've been giving other amounts and I wondered who initially, you know, got it going.
Well, the follow-on one, because, I mean, obviously on the particular reuse project, what we're giving is probably less than 10% of the overall project. So where are they looking for the additional funds to enable them to actually complete the full project? Maybe you could just sort of outline some of those.
They've provided a full breakdown of where the other funding is coming from. So some money is coming from private donations, public donations. They've got a couple of grant applications from a couple of other trusts and charities, and they've got some income coming in from the furniture that they sell as well. So their financial viability stacks up.
Thank you very much for that. Any other questions anyone wishes to ask about the three grant sums? Councillor Poker.
Hi. Oh, well, it's a statement, really, or a comment. I'm very pleased about the Crop Club because... not only this is it using areas around Fearon Hall, but also they are then going to use the food that they grow to feed, you know, voluntary lunches in Fearon Hall itself. So I just think it's an all-round good idea of a community project that is helping perhaps the more vulnerable in our community.
Absolutely. It's great to see Fearon Hall as a centre of wider activity, given its recent history. It's great to see it being a success.
And also, sorry, if I just say it adds to our whole objective in that area around the parish green of having the wildlife garden, the old museum open, etc., etc. So I think it's really good.
Absolutely agree. Any further questions before we make a proposal? So, Councillor Taylor, can I ask you to make your recommendation?
I'd like to move recommendations 1 and 2 for the reasons 1 and 2 on page 111.
Councillor Rawlings, can I ask you to second that?
Yes, some really worthwhile projects here, so I'm very happy to second them.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's absolutely everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Julie, as well. So we now move on to item 11, which is the annual procurement plan 2019-20. So in the absence of Councillor Barclay, unusually for a financial item, I'm going to give an extraordinarily short introduction, not giving the depth of information that Councillor Barclay would be able to give this item. But just to say, this is obviously our annual review of the procurement plan of items that need to come to this committee as a cabinet. So I'm going to ask Simon Jackson, as our Director of Corporate Resources, to give any further information on this particular item.
Thank you, Leader. There's actually very little to say on this. This report is very much, as you will have seen in previous years, it sets out the sort of it is the annual procurement plan covering the year. Obviously, we do get updates on a regular basis. It is set out pretty much identically to how you would have seen it before, with the contracts that we're planning to let divided up between amounts between 25,000 and 75,000, and then those other contracts between 75,000 and 500,000. And as before, contracts above the £500,000 threshold would need to be reported separately to Cabinet as they come through the year. So it is very much as you've seen before. There's Appendix A for the contracts between 25 and 75,000 and Appendix B for those between 75,000 and 500. So nothing really further to add. Thank you.
Has anyone got any questions that they wish to ask? No. Okay, that's quite straightforward. So in which case, I'm going to make recommendation 1 and 2 for the reasons given 1 and 2, And perhaps I can ask Councillor Boker to second.
Thank you, Leader. I'm very happy to second this item.
On to item 12, which is the capital plan report. So, once again, I'm going to fail to imitate Councillor Barclay by giving a very short introduction to this item. The item obviously sets out the amendments to our capital plan, including any movements in projects that need to be accounted for within our budget. So with that, I'm going to give the substantive description of the report to Simon Jackson as our Director of Corporate Resources to fill in any details.
Thank you, Leader. And again, this is a report and a standard format that you will have seen many times before. I think possibly the main thing of interest that I might draw your attention to is on page 149, so within the just to tie into Councillor Mercer's previous report on the housing capital programmes, on page 149 you can see that this report was subject to approval of the housing capital plan. So there's the sort of column header with lots of words in. Depends what your eyesight's like, but that does actually refer to item 8 on this agenda previously. So just to reflect the fact that those items now tie in, so that's always helpful. And then in terms of the individual recommendations on page 139, each of those recommendations has a sort of a narrative that goes with it. There's recommendation 5 does talk about slippages in appendix 1, and because of their size, those two are particularly drawn out above. So of the 1.8 million slippage overall, approximately half of that is the Disabled Facilities Grant, which is recommendation 3 and described in more detail on page 143, and then the HRA bathrooms budget, which is also described in a little bit more detail there. But each of those particular items are actually set out within the body of the report. It's it is a little bit reformatted from previous occasions, and hopefully each of those explanations are self-explanatory, but if there are any questions, I'll do my best to answer those.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Councillor Boker.
Thank you, Leader. Because DFGs are very close to my heart, could Simon explain the correlation between number 3 and number 9 of the recommendations, please?
So number three relates to an increase in funding that we receive, so that's clearly very welcome. And whereas number nine, number three is a slippage. So this is actually where, because of the nature of DFGs, we've been unable to spend the money. And number nine, apologies for getting threes and nines mixed up, which isn't probably very reassuring for the Section 151 officer, but number nine relates to some extra funding, which is always very welcome. So
that's a government
funding. The government have clearly recognised the success of DFGs overall and the effectiveness of DFGs in terms of helping people in their homes. So they've offered extra money, and we've also been glad to accept that and reflect that in our capital plan going forward.
Jeff Parker, Chief Executive. If you want me to go into that in a little more detail, you might remember the DFGs became part of the Better Care Fund, I think it was 4 years ago. And as a result, we now receive our DFG separately via the County Council, and that happens at the beginning of the year. But for the past 2 years, separately and outside of that, the CLG have announced an additional allocation if you can spend it in year, and the number for this financial year is the figure there in recommendation 9. So they gave us another 110,000. The condition of giving us 110,000 was we had to spend it before the end of March. So that comes in And in effect, it displaces what's already there because that's in a separate pot, that's in the Better Care Fund. So we have to spend 110, but to the extent that, you know, if we haven't actually got any more DFGs to apply that funding to in year, it means there's a bit more of the original pot available, which then can be made available for future schemes in 2019-20. So it's a bit convoluted the way it works. It does appear from the latest kind of information that's been released that next year, i.e. next month really, the DFG allocation will become go back to the original plan. It will just come to us directly. So this kind of teaming and ladling, if you like, won't happen in the future. But that's what causes it. Does that make it a bit clearer?
Any other questions on DFGs for any personal experience of them? No, absolutely none. So, look, thank you very much for all of those explanations. And can I move recommendations 1 to 10 for reasons 1 to 10? And can I ask Councillor Poland to...
Thank you, Leader. Very happy to second that.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's absolutely everyone. Thank you very much. We'll all need them at some point, I assure you. So, item 13, which is the local development scheme. Now, we have an OSG report on this item, so if I can invite Councillor Capleton to the table. And Councillor Vardy, can I ask you to introduce this item and then pass over to Councillor Capleton to make his OSG report? And if there are any questions of clarity, we can then ask those to John before moving on to debate of the main item.
Certainly. Thank you, Leader. Yes, sir. Members will recall that the Council is required to prepare a three-year programme for the preparation of local plan documents and keep this up to date each year. So this is an annual report to Cabinet. Last year's programme anticipated the adoption of a new local plan by January 2020. However, this has been rolled back to November 2020 in light of revisions to national policy and guidance and long-term staff absences, amongst other things. This year's programme takes account of that slippage and commits to the preparation of two supplementary planning documents, one on design and another on planning obligations. The programme provides the means for a new local plan to be in place within the time frame expected by government, that's within 5 years of the core strategy adoption, and will ensure we have relevant and up-to-date policies to guide decision-making in the future. And over to Councillor Capleton now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, the scheme is a statutory document. It's reviewed on an annual basis. It sets out the programme for the reduction of the Charnwood Local Plan. This version covers the period 2019 to 2022. It is to be submitted to the Secretary of State for approval in June 2020 and for approval and to be adopted in November 2020. The group questioned the timescale shown in the report, but were assured that the timings were achievable. It was pointed out that we don't, however, have any control over further government regulations. The group agreed, therefore, to support the recommendations, which were that the revised programme for the preparation of the local development documents be approved, that the local development scheme be published and come into effect on the 1st of April, and that the authority be delegated to the Head of Planning and Regeneration in consultation with the lead member to make minor amendments to the local development scheme. Thank you, Chair. That's pretty well what we talked about.
Thank you very much, Councillor Capleton. Thank you very much for that report. Are there any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to ask John? There aren't. Councillor Capleton, thank you very much for that. And I know you've got one more to come, so you will be back. Thank you. At this point, can I ask Richard Bennett, who's our Head of Planning and Regeneration, to come to the table to present any other further items on this report that haven't already been covered in detail by Councillor Vardy and also Councillor Capleton.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, the report is what it is. There isn't really anything much more to say. I'm very happy to take any questions that members might have.
Thank you very much. Brevity is always to be welcome. So I think that's a very good point to make. Any questions? Councillor Sminovich.
Yeah, sorry about this. Yes or no will be fine for the answer. Am I right in thinking that some of the supplementary planning documents have been sort of incorporated into the core strategy?
No.
This is going well this evening. This is going well. You don't get a supplementary, Councillor Smitherich. I'm sorry, that's it. We said brevity. That's it. So are there any other equally short questions that anyone can receive an even quicker answer to? No, absolutely not. This is fantastic. Okay, look, at that point, I'm going to ask Councillor Vardy to make his recommendations.
This may take some time, Leader, but thank you for the opportunity. One thing about this is that, and I will say something before I make the recommendations, is that there's the slippages as has been outlined. One of the benefits of that, and I think we should recognise, is that there's likely to be a new council in May. The first action from this is in July. And it was only fair, I think, for the governance of the whole of this, because this is quite a major document going forward, strategy and policy going forward, that the council, the new council takes ownership of it as we go forward. So, so with that in mind, I'd like to make the recommendations 1 to 3, page 152, for the reasons given on the same page.
Yes, very happy to second this, Leader.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's absolutely everyone. Thank you very much. So we're now on to move on to our next planning item, which is item 14, which is the view of conservation area boundaries. So I'm going to ask Councillor Vardy to introduce this report, which is obviously a group of separate papers on various areas within the borough. And then if you can ask Councillor Bennett. I've insulted you, Councillor Richard Bennett. So if I can ask then Richard Bennett to cover any other items within the report.
Thank you, Leader. Yes. The Council, in its role as a local planning authority, has a duty to keep its 38 conservation areas under constant review. This item sets out the conclusions arising from the review of conservation areas boundaries in five rural settlements in the borough. Following on from the reviews undertaken in Loughborough that Cabinet considered last year, those who can remember. It contributes to the corporate plan aim to take action to protect the environment for future generations and to ensure a clean borough for all to enjoy. The proposals follow a thorough assessment of each conservation area as evidenced by the documents in the appendix. These assessments were used to inform public consultation, including a series of meetings in each village before a final alignment of the boundary was prepared, which is you'll see in the last page of each assessment. Cabinet is now asked to approve the amended boundaries to ensure that the special character of the areas is identified and to provide a sound basis for their future management. I think just to going on from that although you can say, well, this is just a brief history of some small settlements, but these are precious settlements within our borough, and we need to be able to recognise that and be able to ensure that we can protect them as far as we possibly can. And that's what this kind of document is. It's incorporated in our strategies going forward and serves to give some protection. With that, I'll hand over to Richard to illuminate further.
Thank you, Councillor Vardy. Through you, Leader. As Councillor Vardy said, we do have a duty under the Listed Building Act to keep these conservation areas under review, and we've got quite a lot of them in the borough, 38, which is quite a high number for a district council. What we've done is we've prioritised those areas in the rural settlements in the most need of review. We've taken our lead from the conservation area character appraisals that we completed. I think it was last year we did the last batch of those, and the management plans that support them. And we've taken those areas where the management plan said we need to look again at the boundaries and make revisions. So that's how we've arrived at the five that are detailed in this particular report. As Councillor Vardy said, we prepared a consultation document, which is in the appendix, and we've been out to meet with the parish councils and parish meetings in those areas to invite comments, and we've also had comments from the members of the public as well. That's detailed in the report survey, which is one of the background papers to the item. And from that, we've amended the boundary where we think it's appropriate to do so. Cabinet are asked to approve these new boundaries this evening. Those boundaries will then be used to help inform future decisions within the conservation areas, and also to make it clear what the special character, where the area of special character is for, and the historic interest is for those conservation areas. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. I have a question from Councillor Taylor, and then Councillor Minnich, and then Councillor Pilot.
Thank you, Leader. Not really a question. I just wanted to say I really enjoyed reading the report. It was a very thorough report, and I think the photos were particularly useful for us to get an impression of the areas.
Well, I think Richard knows how keen I've been on keeping conservation high on the agenda ever since we had Loughborough reviewed and found so much more of interest. And I think it's absolutely vital that we keep looking at this and looking very closely to preserve what we've got, simply to keep our sense of place. Where we are is our place, and I think it's really important for the community. So I'm absolutely delighted.
Councillor Poland.
Thank you, Leader. Yeah, I'm echoing really colleagues' statements there. Certainly in the case of Quenenborough, where I'm the county councillor for, you know, the report talks about it's a village of two halves, and that's exactly right. There's part of the village that, to be an outsider, could be easily confused as being part of Syston, but there's a real historic core that is unique, that has a real sense of place. Yeah, that's the word, sense of place to it, that needs protecting for the future. So thank you for the work you've done on this, and obviously expanding it to include what makes Quenenborough really special. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. So, I mean, as always, fascinating actually reading through the report. Quite intrigued by what prompted some of the tweaks in the boundaries. Were those mainly from comments from coming back from the consultation, or from officers' review of the original boundaries?
So in approaching this task, the officers go out and they try to identify what's of historic interest and connection to the village, or which helps to contribute towards the setting of the village. And so they put their best foot forward and propose a boundary, and then take that out to discuss with local representatives who, you know, understand the place where they live perhaps the best. And what we do is we consider the representations made, and where we think that, you know, perhaps we've got it wrong, we'll consider making a change. Or if we think that what's been put forward, when we've looked at that in more detail, we don't think it's helping to achieve those objectives that I've mentioned, then it will stay the same. But the key thing is that we keep this under review. That's what the duty is to us, to keep these areas under review, and that, you know, we can come back and look at them again at any time.
Thank you very much for that. Can I ask Councillor Vardy to make a recommendation?
Yes, thank you, Leader. I wish to move the recommendations 1 and 2 on page 171 for the reasons given on the same page.
Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Poland to second?
Thank you, Leader. I take great pleasure in being able to second this.
Thank you very much. Can I see everyone in favour? And that's absolutely everyone. Thank you very much. Now, moving on to item 15, which is the budget environments in planning and regeneration services. We have an OSG report as well. So if there's room beside you, Richard, that's absolutely fine. So if I can ask Councillor Capleton to come to the table. And then Councillor Vardy, if you can introduce this item and then invite Councillor Capleton to present the report on behalf of OSG.
Yes, thank you again, Leader. This is the final item I'm presenting this evening. And this item is about the movement of money between budget cost centres in the planning and regeneration service. It's necessary because the financial procedure rules limit the authority of officers to make environments up to £100,000 without within any single cost centre. The environments are required to move money from the salary budget and from the planning reserves to meet expenditure on staff to the year end. The Council does not normally make provision for agency workers through the budget process because of their nature. They are very difficult to plan for. However, members may recall the Cabinet approved a vivement of £158k as part of the service review in April of last year, and that was to meet the cost of agency support for a transitional period of 6 months and to allow the recruitment of vacant posts. The report details the five vacancies considered in the April Cabinet report. It explains that agency workers have had to be retained for longer in some of the posts, and in addition, vacancies arising elsewhere in the service due to staff churn have required further support. Therefore, officers have approved vivements of a further 100k to the limit of their authority. The forecast year, end of year position is that a further 138k is required to meet expected expenditure, and for this report and seeks Cabinet approval to make this vivement.
Thank you very much. Councillor Capleton.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Yes, the group discussed the situation and noted that the national shortage of senior planning officers, the consequent difficulty in recruiting qualified staff, had necessitated the use of agency staff. We concluded, therefore, that there was no other solution than to vire in the funds from salary budgets, which are underspent. The group, therefore, supported the recommendations that were to transfer the budget of £36,000 from the planning growth capacity support grant reserve, to transfer a budget of £102,000 from planning delivery reserve, and to transfer the budget of £12,000 from the conservation salary underspend. That gives about a total of £150,000 to cover agency costs up to the 31st of March. That's the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Capleton. Are there any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Capleton on the OSG report? John, I don't think there are any questions, so in which case, John, can I ask you to pass on my thanks to your fellow members of the OSG. I think there's still one further Cabinet meeting to go before the May election, so you're not done with yet. But that will be the final meeting of the OSG in the current scrutiny format, so it's we're getting to historic moments before everything changes. So, look, thank you very much. Pass my thanks to everyone involved. I know Councillor Gerrard is sitting there and she was involved as well in the meeting. So, very kind of you. Thank you very much. And with that, I'm going to ask Richard Bennett whether there are any other points that you wish to make on the report as outlined by Councillor Vardy and Councillor Capleton.
Yes, thank you, Leader. Just one or two points to add to what's been discussed already. There are actually eight vacant posts at the moment within the service, service of 54 full-time equivalents. Four of those are covered by agency workers, so we prioritise the roles where we need to bring in external resource and share the work around for the others where we think we can manage it. So the other thing just to point out, on page 278 at the bottom, the number that appears there, in the last sentence, it says 149, I believe. It should say 138 to tie in with the appendix.
Okay, thank you very much, Richard. So, are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask on this particular action? Councillor Harper-Davis.
Thank you, Leader. Thank you, Richard. Is there a particular reason why we can't sort of like get full-time staff and we have to use agency workers?
Through you, Leader. As was mentioned by Councillor Vardy, there is a national shortage of experienced planners and planning managers at the moment. And there's a lot of competition as a consequence for that resource. So it is just a case of supply and demand. We have been successful in through the service review in changing the nature of the more junior posts, and we've managed to provide a more stable establishment because of the changes that we've made there. But it remains the case that at the more experienced level and senior level, that there's simply just a shortage of planners.
Thank you.
Yes, it's just a statement, really. I'd just like to emphasise how important this is in a period of a lot of change, especially in the town, Loughborough, in terms of new planning applications. And if we didn't have these agencies' workers, we'd be in a real mess. And I'd also like to congratulate the actual agency workers who are excellent, in my opinion, and are very customer-focused, and they know their stuff inside out. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? No. Nope. So in which case, I'm going to ask Councillor Vardy to make the recommendations.
Yes, thank you, Leader. Can I move the recommendations 1 to 3 on page 278? 276. Do I need to put in about the typographical errors, Leader, and including the any typographical errors that may have occurred in the report for the reasons given on the same page?
To be amended
by the editor service in conjunction with the lead member. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Leader, and I would support the recommendations with the additional amendments.
The infamous typographical amendments. Thank you very much, Richard. Thank you very much. We're supposed to vote on this, aren't we? All of those in favour? There we go. So we're now on to item 16, which is our final item of this evening, which is the review of the Constitution. So can I invite Karen Widdowson. So my teeth are not working particularly well this evening, so apologies. Who's our Democratic Services Manager at the table. And Councillor Poland, can I ask you to introduce the report and then pass over to Karen for any further items to cover before we start asking questions?
Thank you, Leader. As members will know, the Constitution is the guiding document that governs everything we do at the Council. Every year we are tasked to look at this, check it's up to date, check if there are any sort of changes we want to see. Comes to us before it, then it's our job to recommend it should we wish to before it goes to full council. There's 12 changes proposed in this time, various sizes, some as I say bigger than others. The changes to the Constitution proposed in the report are as follows: that the current ability of the monitoring officer to launch a formal investigation against the councillor in the absence of a written complaint be removed, that the new members of the Audit, Licensing and Personnel Committees must attend the relevant training sessions within the current council term, be eligible to serve on those committees, and that in the case of Audit and Personnel Committees, the substitutes for those committees also need to have done the relevant training within that council term, that where the leader is given authority for executive functions to be discharged by themselves or another designated person, that the current need for a public meeting be removed. The law requires the council to produce a capital strategy annually to be presented at the same time as the Treasury management strategy, and the Constitution is recommended to be changed just to reflect that. The Constitution be strengthened to reduce disruption from anyone using their legal right to film, tweet or blog from a council meeting. And that includes, of course, public committee meetings of the council. That the Chief Executive's performance review be added to the remit of the Personnel Committee. That the Constitution be changed so that only serving members and staff have to be have their planning applications automatically looked at by the committee. At the present, if you've all serving members and all staff and anyone who's been either of those in the last 2 years, but has to have their application looked at, but this is proposing that only then applies to serving members and staff. to remove an obsolete planning reference in section 8.2, to simplify text around permitted development, to amend the constitution allowing the head of planning to issue a hedgerow replacement order where a hedge has been removed unlawfully, some minor word changing in the planning section, and that the threshold for key decisions being taken by officers is raised to 150,000. It's currently 100,000. That was set back in 2000, and obviously that was some time ago now, so it was just felt necessary to refresh that. So that's my intro. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Karen, do you have any other items to add?
That's a very comprehensive thank you. The only thing I would add was the licensing committee. In the constitution, we're now pulling out the distinction between private hire operators and Hackney carriage or private hire vehicle licensees. I think that was the only thing that wasn't mentioned. Apart from that, I've got nothing else to add. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask? Councillor Mercer.
Hey, could I just clarify an item 5 of webcasting, filming and recording of meetings on page 297 that it states the amendment is, quote, any filming, recording or reporting from meetings, including social media, should not be disruptive or intrusive. Now, my slight concern is that the word disruptive could be misinterpreted to mean what is actually done with the material that's actually filmed, recorded or reported, because I know that one councillor was less than amused that a picture of him drinking from a single-use plastic container whilst one of his colleagues was arguing the case against the use of single-use plastic containers was not appreciated. The government guidance on the change in the law was very clear on this in defining disruptive behaviour. It had nothing to do with what's done with that material. It was describing how it is obtained, and it defined disruptive behaviour as, quote, impedes other members of the public being able to see, hear or film, nothing to do with what's actually used, done with that material. So could I just clarify that this amendment doesn't actually extend the government statutory guidance on this change in the law at all, and that is our definition of disruptive behaviour.
Thank you, Leader. Adrian Ward, Monitoring Officer. Take on board Councillor Mercer's point. The intention is purely to govern what happens during meetings, not what happens after meetings or what's done with material that's filmed or recorded. My suggestion, Leader, if Cabinet were minded to do so, would be to change the word from in the middle of that sentence to during, so it said any filming, recording or reporting during meetings rather than from meetings, if that would make things clearer.
I think that certainly makes things clearer, and I have no problems with that. Everyone reasonably happy with that? Yep, lots of nods. Okay, so we'll pick that up in the recommendations. Any other questions? No? So in which case, Councillor Poland, would you like to make your recommendations with the addition that has just been suggested by Adrian?
Thank you, Leader, indeed. The recommendation, that it be recommended to Council that the changes to the Constitution are set out in Appendix 1, and indeed the changes just outlined by Adrian Ward, be made to effective from the 6th of May 2019. Does that make sense? I've just said there. We're recommending that that it be recommended to Council that the changes to the Constitution set out in Appendix 1 to this report be made. But we're also including what we've just talked about, what Adrian's just said, and that's what we're recommending to full Council.
Precisely what was meant, and I think that's fine. So, with that as a recommendation, Councillor.
I think I'll just say I'll second what James just said. But I particularly welcome the change to the single cabinet member decisions, because we've sat here for half an hour for a two-minute meeting for five times in the last 4 months. So I particularly welcome that bit. Thank you.
I don't know. People will do anything to get out of meetings. So with that, we have a proposer and a seconder. So can I see all of those in favour? And that's absolutely everyone. So thank you very much. Thank you very much, Karen. Thank you very much, all other staff and councillors who have attended this evening. Good night.